You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into Locked On Orioles podcast. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, we are going to do a little roundup of all of the Orioles news that came out on Monday and Tuesday morning as well. Not a lot of big stuff around the team, but some small pieces of news here as we lead up to really the offseason getting started and the Orioles starting to make some decisions and some moves over the next couple of weeks. And then coming up after the break, we will start a little series that we're going to do here throughout this offseason here on Locked On Orioles. Not a specific format of when all of these episodes will come out, but we're going to start a list, to honor the offseason starting, and it's truly the season of transactions for the Orioles. So I'm going to break down the top 10 Orioles transactions that they have made in the past decade. Those are transactions spanning from January 1st of 2010 to December 31st of 2019. So that last decade that feels like it just ended, although we are very deep into November of 2020. I wanted to look at all the moves that the Orioles made in that 10-year span and rank them and give you a top 10. So on today's episode, we'll get you a couple of the stragglers that just missed out, one honorable mention, and then break down number 10 on our list. It's a couple of more minor moves that we'll talk about today, but ones that made really big impacts for the Orioles. But first up, of course, a little look at Orioles news from the last couple of days since we last left you yesterday. First of all, John Angelos, the Orioles chairman and CEO, putting out a statement yesterday saying, "The Orioles organization, partnership group, and front office congratulate the American people on a record voter turnout during the recent election, and we offer our support to both the current and incoming administrations in their collective effort to effectuate a cooperative, speedy, and productive transition. We further support President-elect Biden and his team and their efforts to confront the urgent pandemic and economic problems that face our society and the world as we unite against common challenges and look ahead in the collective interest of all Americans." Now, of course, John Angelos really being the first owner of any pro sports team to put out any kind of statement like this week since the election had been called on Saturday. And, as we know, maybe you don't, John Angelos, the largest Democratic donor among any of the owners across the major sports in North America. He donated over $2 million to Democratic campaigns last year. And he, him and his dad, Peter, have been historically pro-labor owners. We're the only ones who, went against using the replacement players back during the MLB strike in the mid-90s. And the Angelos family has kind of been outwardly supportive of Democratic candidates and initiatives in the past, and so interesting to see, a professional baseball team put out that statement on Monday, but just something to watch to see if any other teams, would kind of follow behind in that. Other news, the Orioles kind of making a little bit of an inside baseball move, but Mike Hopps has been promoted to their chief financial officer for the Orioles, Maryland native who has been with the O's since 1986. His last job was the vice president of finance for the Orioles. So congrats to Mike, who has been around the block with this this Orioles franchise. It's been a long time for him with the franchise now, 34 years with the club, and he is promoted to CFO. So congrats to him. We found out who the rookies of the year were last night. In the American League, it went to Kyle Lewis, the outfielder for the Mariners. In the National League, it went to Devin Williams, the relief pitcher for the Brewers. Both of them had phenomenal seasons. We did know that Ryan Mountcastle did not get put into one of the three finalists for AL Rookie of the Year. However, we did find out yesterday that Mountcastle did receive one third-place vote for American League Rookie of the Year. So one voter put him third place, on the ballot. And if you tally up all the points, he ended up finishing eighth overall for American League Rookie of the Year in 2020. However, of course, Mountcastle still eligible for the AL Rookie of the Year Award in 2021. And I'd put him up there as one of the front runners for that one next year. More good news coming from the Orioles organization. Remember the fight t-shirts that the Orioles were selling in support of Trey Mancini and his battle with colorectal cancer. Fans ended up buying almost 5,000 shirts, and the Orioles today are donating more than $80,000 to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, stemming really from those shirt sales and, of course, money from the team as well. And, you know, Trey Mancini posting a video thanking the fans and the organization for their donation, as, of course, Trey, you know, seemingly has won his battle. And, you know, we saw him hitting in the cage the other day, and looks like he will be 100% ready to go for spring training in 2021. Last piece of Orioles news, we actually talked about it last Monday on our Mailbag Monday episode. We got a question about the Orioles minor league affiliates and what they might look like next year. Is Major League Baseball planning on cutting 40 minor league teams going into next season? And we talked about the New York Penn League potentially being moved into a College Wood Bat League, which would include the Orioles' Aberdeen Ironbirds. Well, reports coming out today that the Ironbirds may stick around as a minor league team and may actually get bumped up to another level. Of course, Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen, one of the best, and I think the best stadium and ballpark in the Orioles minor league system. They have a pretty solid following up in Harford County. And, you know, that's the minor league team that I live closest to and have seen the most in my time as well. And it looks like that Aberdeen might actually be moved up and be one of the four teams that will continue to be an Orioles minor league affiliate. And on the flip side, either Delmarva, Frederick, or Bowie could be in danger of moving to one of these other Wood Bat Leagues and not being affiliated with the Orioles or with minor league baseball any further. And whichever one of those teams it would be, Aberdeen would probably slot up into that league and become a full season team, whether it's in single A or double A in 2021 and beyond. So something to keep an eye on, and we, of course, will keep our eyes on that for you. But we look forward into minor league baseball to see what will happen to the Orioles teams, but also going to look back here this offseason. And again, as I mentioned at the top, wanted to kind of look back on all the Orioles transactions they made in the past decade from 2010 to 2019. And as we get, you know, started into the offseason here this week, really, and then we'll start to hear some moves in the next couple of weeks made by the Orioles and teams around Major League Baseball, I wanted to look back and see what the Orioles' best moves were in that last decade. So I put together a list of the top 10 Orioles transactions made over the last decade. And coming up after the break, we will get to a couple of the moves that just missed out on the cut for this list. One honorable mention at spot number 11 that I had to get in there, and then I will talk about number 10, transaction number 10 on this list of top 10 Orioles transactions from the last decade. That's coming up after the break. So today begins our look at the top 10 Orioles transactions that the O's have made in the past decade. Again, it's a set decade, so the time span we're looking at from January 1st of 2010 to December 31st of 2019. Of course, you have really three different GMs in there, Andy McPhail, Dan Duquette, and Mike Elias, all in that stretch. We will talk about moves that that all of them made in that stretch of time. And as we look at this list. Now some of them, you know, could be on this kind of list in the future, but we don't really know yet. For example, if the Manny Machado trade turns out that, you know, Dean Kramer and Yusniel Diaz are perennial all-stars, then, you know, you maybe put that trade on here. But at this point, you know, you're looking at a trade that the Orioles gave away their best player that they've had in the last 20 years, you know, really haven't seen the fruits of that trade quite yet. So I can't really grade that one out yet. So not a lot of super recent trades will be on here. But still a good list of transactions. So before we get to number 11 and number 10 on the list, which we'll talk about today, wanted to mention two deals that just got left off this list. The first one was would have been the most recent one on the list. From March of 2019, the Orioles claiming Hanser Alberto off of waivers from the San Francisco Giants. Of course, the Orioles had Hanser, waived him. He was picked up by the Yankees, then to the Giants, then back to the Orioles after, of course, starting his career with the Rangers. He's been pretty good, a pleasant surprise in his 2 years in an Oriole uniform. Don't know what his future holds with the O's, but thought about getting him on this list. The other one that was really tough to leave off, but eventually I did, was the Mark Reynolds trade. If you go all the way back to the offseason before the 2011 season, the Orioles sent David Hernandez and Cam Michelio to the Diamondbacks for backup catcher John Hester, and then, of course, Mark Reynolds. Reynolds really hit for crazy power in 2011. And then, of course, you know, the numbers were a bit down in 2012, but he had that crazy stretch in September, the seven homers in seven games, and was a big part of helping the Orioles get back to the postseason in 2012. Of course, he did move on after that, so only 2 years in an Oriole uniform, and he just missed out on this list, that trade with the D-backs. So initially I put together a top 10, but there was one move I just had to get in as the honorable mention slash number 11 on this list that I'll mention quickly, and that is January 14th, 2014, the Orioles sign outfielder Delmon Young to a minor league contract. And of course he has to be on here because although he didn't really consistently produce in the two seasons he spent with the Orioles in 2014 and 2015, he was still pretty solid in that time as kind of a part-time player. And of course, he has the biggest Orioles hit in recent memory, the three-run double in the eighth inning of Game 2, 2014 ALDS, to put the Orioles on top and help them sweep the Tigers in that series. Everybody knows the Delmon Young double. Everybody knows the Brian Anderson call. Cruises in, pierces in. Hardy around third. He's going to try to score and safe. The Orioles have the lead. And just had to get the Delmon Young signing in there as an honorable mention. In 2014 with the O's, 83 games for him, a .302 average, .337 on base, 7 homers, 11 doubles, 30 RBIs. He only played 52 games in 2015 before the Orioles DFA'd him, .270 average, .289 on base, 2 homers, and 6 doubles. Overall with the Orioles, 135 games, a .288 batting average, and he hit 9 log balls in an Oriole uniform. Not a great body of work, but he was solid and of course had that huge hit, so he becomes the honorable mention. But now we get to number 10 on this list as we officially start the list of the Orioles' top 10 transactions of the last full decade. And that would be a transaction that the Orioles had actually made once before and had made a couple of times after this as well. But this was the time where they really held on to this guy. And that is September 29th of 2012. The Orioles claimed the utility man Steve Pierce off of waivers from the New York Yankees. Now, I know Pierce was in an Oriole uniform in 2012. He had spent some time with the O's that season. But the Orioles had let him go during the 2012 season. The Yankees purchased his contract from the Orioles in June. Then he was sent over to the Astros in July, back to the Yankees in August, and then finally the Yankees waived him at the end of the season, and the Orioles scooped him back up in September. And Pierce, of course, parts of 5 seasons, 2012 to 2016, with the Orioles, kind of bounced around, of course, to Houston, New York, Tampa, and Toronto in that stretch, but kind of always made his way back to the Orioles, and then, of course, finished his career with Boston and won that World Series MVP in 2018. But in 2012 with the Orioles for Steve Pierce, 28 games, a .254 average, 3 home runs and 4 doubles. And the Orioles, you know, got him back at the end of 2012, and then they really stuck with him. Now, he only played 44 games in 2013, hit .261, a .362 on base. But then, of course, it was his breakout season in 2014, 102 games for him that season. Really filling in for Chris Davis for a good chunk of that year as Davis went completely cold after his All-Star 2013 season. And Pierce hit .293 with a .373 on base, .157 OPS plus in 2014 with 21 homers and 26 doubles. Really the closest he could have come to to being an all-star in his career. He was maybe full body of work, the Orioles' best hitter in 2014, the year they won 96 games and won the division. And that's why he's got to be on this list. And, you know, in 2015, his numbers went way down in 92 games, went to the Rays in 2016. Orioles acquired him back at the deadline in 2016. But he only played in 25 games, didn't hit too well again, and got hurt and was not a part of the Orioles' 2016 playoff roster. But Pierce still really a Baltimore legend, and I got to put him on here because I own a number 28 Steve Pierce jersey, Steve Pierce Orioles jersey as well. But Pierce in parts of five seasons with the Orioles, 291 games, 999 plate appearances. He hit .255. With a .337 on base percentage, .473 slugging, 46 homers, 52 doubles, and 122 RBIs. And, you know, also the big thing for Pierce, he had some defensive versatility for the Orioles. I mean, you know, a lot of that 2014 season, his breakout year, he played mostly first base because Chris Davis wasn't really doing it for the Orioles, and that's where he stuck. Of course, Pierce fielded and recorded the final out on the division-clinching night in September against the Blue Jays to give the O's their first AL East championship since 1997. But he was a big part of that team at the plate. He had that crazy hot stretch in June and July where it felt like he was homering every time at the dish, became kind of more of a household name in the majors. And of course, he never really became a national name until the World Series of 2018 when he won the World Series MVP with the Boston Red Sox. And Pierce retiring this past offseason, now 37 years old. But, you know, you look at his career, he had by far his most games, most plate appearances with the Orioles. Again, 291 games with the Orioles, next most 185 with the Pirates, and then 118 with the Blue Jays. And, you know, a lot of people will probably tag him with the Red Sox because of the World Series MVP. But if you look at his whole body of work, probably most known and the most consistent success with being an Oriole. And that's why the Orioles claiming him back on waivers September 29th of 2012 ends up as number 10 on our list. And it's, you know, the defensive versatility as well. You know, not only did he play first base, but he played corner outfield for the Orioles, played right field and left field in his time with the Orioles and played it pretty well. And then also, if you remember, when he came back in 2016, he actually played some second base with Baltimore as well, as he had kind of been working on second base when he was with the Rays that year. And so the Orioles threw him in there at second a couple of times as well. It was always thought that, you know, he might have been one of the emergency catchers and could put him other places in the infield if need be. And just a really, really valuable player, Steve Pierce, who a 10-career war for him in 13 major league seasons. You get a World Series, a World Series MVP. You're beloved by at least two franchises, Baltimore and Boston. I would call that a really successful major league career for the former eighth round pick out of the University of South Carolina. So Steve Pierce, the waiver claim of him on September 29th, 2012, is number 10 on our list of the Orioles' top 10 transactions of the last decade. So it's looking like we will get back to this list tomorrow and continue it here on the podcast, as we will look at number 9 on the list. And the guy we're going to talk about tomorrow, he only played a couple of seasons in an Oriole uniform and was not, you know, a big name signing by any stretch of the imagination. Kind of snuck under the radar for the Orioles when they did sign him, but he was a huge part of a couple of good Orioles teams. So we will talk about number 9 on this list tomorrow when we're back with you right here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.